The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, on this day you revealed your Son to the nations by the leading of a star. Lead us now by faith to know your presence in our lives, and bring us at last to the full vision of your glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For the darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 72 responsively. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people, and the hills in righteousness. He live as long as the sun and moon endure, from one generation to another. His time may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace, till the moon shall be no more. May all the kings bow down before him, and all the nations do him service. For the king has compassion on the lowly and poor, and preserves the lives of the needy. Reading from Ephesians. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which you will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his sign at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
Epiphany, the great feast of light, or fire, as the children would like to have us include. Isaiah sings to the Hebrew people, "Arise, shine, your light has come." And then we hear of that bright star that led the Magi to the home of the Messiah in Bethlehem. Epiphany is all about stars and light. But I've been thinking a lot about darkness lately. I think it started with the book that I'm currently reading by Barbara Brown Taylor called Learning to Walk in the Dark. One person I recommended this book to thought it was a book about for vision impaired people. That's not what the book is about. The premise of her book is that we need darkness as much as we need light. And we should learn to appreciate darkness. She tells stories from her own life and stories from scripture that hold up that truth. And then she contrasts what she calls full solar spirituality, which I might call Pollyanna vision, with her newfound lunar spirituality, a spirituality that has cycles, a spirituality that needs darkness in order to be seen. And she invites her readers to learn to walk in the darkness of their own lives. Listen to this invitation from her foreword. It's possible that you too could benefit from learning to walk in the dark. Maybe you are a young person in deep need of faith right now, but the kind you inherited from your parents is not cutting it. You want something with a sharper edge, a keener sense of purpose. You want something that asks more of you than to sit and listen quietly while someone else tells you how to live. You know it's out there, but where? It may be time for a walk in the dark. If you are in the middle of your life, maybe some of your dreams of God have died hard under the weight of your experience. You have knocked on doors that have not opened. You have asked for bread and been given a stone. The job that once defined you has lost its meaning. The relationships that once sustained you have changed or have come to their natural ends. It's time to reinvent everything from your work life to your love life to your life with God. Only how are you supposed to do that exactly? And where will wisdom come from? Not from a weekend workshop. It may be time for a walk in the dark. If you're my age, and Barbara Brown is exactly my age, but if you're my age and you're losing a lot more things than you once did, not just your keys and your vision, but also your landmarks and your sense of self, you're going to a lot more funerals now than before. When you read your class notes in the alumni news, they are shorter and nearer the top every time. You know full well where all this is heading. And you know also that you're not ready yet. So how are you supposed to get ready? What is the work you have left to do before you enter that great beyond? Clearly, it's time for a walk in the dark. Well, I think Barbara Brown Taylor is really on to something. We need to appreciate the dark, even, maybe especially, on the Feast of Epiphany. I sat with Don Snowden, a church member that many of you know well, a few times this past week. Don is now in hospice care and sleeping most of the time, but he had some really good days earlier in the week. And I was sharing with him my sermon ideas. We always did that on Thursday nights. Talk about the sermon that's coming on Sunday and get some pointers for me to see which direction I'm going. And I missed that these last couple weeks when we haven't had Thursday night service. So I was telling Don about my idea. And we talked about learning from the darkness. Now I'm talking to a man who is in his last week of life, most likely, and suffering with cancer and now hospice care. And he said, there is so much light in this darkness. And I'm so thankful for this darkness because of the light that I have seen. He said that he always knew that people cared for him and that he was loved. But this opportunity, this darkness that he's in right now, has given him the chance to see so clearly the brightness and the light of so many angels that are so important in his life. He knew that he had seen light before, but now he is seeing light in an all new way. You know, it's only when you're away from the city, away from the bright lights, can you really appreciate the brilliance of the stars. Half of our life is spent in darkness. And if we're smart, we won't despair the darkness, but we will learn from it. And because we have acknowledged the darkness, we can much more appreciate the light. There's a great promise of light in the reading from the prophet Isaiah that we heard this morning. But earlier in the book, this is what Isaiah writes, chapter 45. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by name. And God does indeed call us by name, and he calls us in the midst of our darkness. Through baptism, each of us is called by name to receive the light of Christ, and we are given that light, and we are given the gifts of God. Most importantly, we receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit and the grace to live as children of God. Epiphany reminds us that as we walk through the darkness of our lives, as we learn to walk in the dark, we're also learning to see the light and to point it out to others. Like the Magi who came before us, we are people who search the heavens for signs of hope and healing, for signs of peace and reconciliation among all the peoples of the earth. We look for shooting stars in the light of the black clouds that hover over us. Like Isaiah, we are those people who imagine that one day we shall arise and be radiant light. Like St. Paul wrote to the people in Ephesus, we are those people who will come to know that even when, maybe especially when, we are in the darkness, it is then that God's light, God's grace, God's glory can be seen. And that is the gift, the ultimate gift of Epiphany. It's seeing that light that's been there all along and recognizing that light that has been there all along and saying thank you for the darkness that allows us to see that light. Like the Magi who came before us, we come bearing the gifts that only have meaning when they're taken, broken, blessed, and shared. That's the truth of the Eucharist. And that's the truth about light and darkness that is our life. The light can only be appreciated because of the darkness. Isaiah says, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look around. Look around. The whole world will see the light. The heart of all peoples will thrill and rejoice, says the prophet Isaiah. There is light, and we can appreciate it even more because of the darkness of our lives. So we pray, Lord, let your light shine. And in the meantime, teach us to walk in the dark. Amen.